Hello, and welcome to Geek Speak, where support comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. Info at 948-7992. Also from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valley. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com, and you can reach them at 704-9130. I'm Marty from Blue Bee Interactive, joined by Louie, the computer guy. Hello, Louie.
Hey, how's it going?
And by Matt McBrayer at Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hey, hello, Matt. Everyone.
How are you guys?
Doing well.
I've like just hit pay dirt. I got the biggest little treasure trove of fun tech articles here today. So,
well, Lou, I need to start on a sad note.
If people don't call,
you have a lot to talk about.
963-2976.
Yeah, reach us at 963-2976.
Then I will regale them with this. But anyway, what's the sad news?
Louis, this is a sad day. Sad day in technology. The Windows Phone.
Is that your tongue I see in your cheek
over
there?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
My cheek.
That's what I thought.
The Windows Phone is dead. Ille mort. It's pushing up daisies.
Nice.
What say you on that news?
As it should be.
You better be careful. Because when they come back as a ghost, they'll come back to haunt you.
Exactly. Never was a fan of the Windows Phone.
Blue screen errors.
Yeah.
BSOD.
So, yeah, your Windows Phone now, basically a brick.
Yep. Hmm. Well, you know, if any listeners out there are, suffering the brunt end of the big Windows Phone death today and having to transition over to a superior technology like a BlackBerry Pearl or Motorola Razr or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
the venerable V3, right?
Yes, exactly. Then they should give us a call at 963-2976, and we can talk them down off the ledge.
Yeah, or we can go back to like a 1700 series Nokia or something, or 1300 series Nokia.
Yeah, I was actually talking to somebody the other day who was still using, you know, one of those old, was that a GSM phone or what's the original technology?
CDMA or
okay,
GSM,
yeah, yeah.
G2.
Yeah. And I guess the phone companies are just making it really hard on those guys. It's they really want to take those towers down. And it won't be a day too soon when all those phones are out of circulation. So,
well, then we need to come up with a mesh network for them, right? No.
Right. Your own CDMA network. So, nice. So, yeah, the Windows Phone, I guess the iPhone can move into that void.
that large void that was left today. Yeah,
that vacuum.
Yes.
Left by the Windows Phone. So, what was the most recent version of the Windows Phone OS, by the way? Do you guys know?
I don't know. Yeah. I saw an article that a new fully open source like Android competitor was fully funded today.
Uh-huh.
So they have $3 million in starting capital to make a fully open source phone operating system.
So there's going to be a new player in the phone operating system
market. They were up to Windows 10 mobile.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. I was going to venture that they were kind of stuck at XP technology there.
Well, come on. You don't like all those all the tablet features on Windows 8 that you have to use with a mouse and a keyboard?
Yeah, exactly. I never did get all that. You know, it's like, I guess it's for people who have really bad manual dexterity. It's like, here, we'll give you a bigger target to click on. You know, we'll give you something the size of a postage stamp to click on with your mouse to make sure you don't miss. So,
apparently, even Bill Gates has jumped to Android.
Really?
Yes, apparently.
I wonder why he didn't get an iPhone. Oh, it's so sad. The whole competition between the two is just so funny. It's I was doing a project for a client the other day, migrating contacts, basically trying to move contacts from, I'm trying to remember whether it was from Outlook into Gmail. And have you ever looked at the field names for the you know, when you put the contacts in a spreadsheet.
Oh, they're crazy.
The field names that Gmail uses are absolutely arcane. Or esoteric, or I don't know what they're called.
Both.
But, you know, yeah, yeah, exactly. Arcane and esoteric. It's just crazy. It's like, and if you just flat out take it out of Outlook and try to export it into Gmail, half your stuff ends up in the notes field. Have you seen that? Like it all collects in the notes field.
Oh, no, I always use the Google Business Sync.
Oh, okay.
From Outlook, it does a fairly good job most of the time.
Okay.
Bob,
maybe I should try that.
Does Outlook have an option to export them as V cards?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. I think Google has a way to import those. At least on the phone, you can do V cards on the phone.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to give that a try next time. So, yeah.
Yeah, their import thing's a little goofy. I know.
Have you guys heard any of these stories about these troll farms?
Oh, like from Russia?
Yeah.
Have not.
It's a big deal, and I was just reading an article about a gal who used to work at one of the troll farms, and she says that if you're in Russia and you're interacting on social media, chances are half of the people that you're interacting with are trolls. It's like they kind of beta tested the whole troll thing. By using, you know, the Kremlin moved to that as a way of, basically it's their propaganda mechanism. And so that's, they kind of beta tested it in Russia and then kind of rolled it out for the United States 2016 presidential election. And it's just amazing. This lady, you know, and she's, you know, she's extremely brave because, you know, darn well, over there, you could, if you're being so verbal about, you know, protesting something that the government's doing, one night you might just disappear. And so I just thought that was pretty interesting. I guess the reason I was looking into that is I heard a story in the news today that they've actually identified a second troll. There's like multiple troll farms.
So are the trolls paid?
Yeah, yeah.
So wouldn't that make them a shrill, a plant, or a stooge?
You can't get paid if you're a troll? You can't be a professional troll?
I'm just saying that makes him a paid shrill, doesn't it?
Okay. I'm going to have to Google that because I don't know what that means. So, a shrill, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. S-H-I-L-L.
Oh, shill. Sorry. Okay. All right. I'm familiar.
Adding letters.
Okay, we have a phone call.
All right.
Hi, you're live on GeekSpeak. They hung up.
Nobody there.
Nope. Oh, they were intimidated the minute they heard your voice, Marty.
I guess so. I thought maybe I had a technical issue.
All right.
But
try going back if you get a chance.
Please do call us back at 963-2976. 963-2976.
So let's see. I'm going to look up shill definition here. I didn't know that you could be a professional shill.
Let's try this again. Hi, you're live on GeekSpeak.
Hey there. I actually had a couple of issues today. The first and most curious is I have laptop that has both the Google Chrome and Yahoo on it, and the Google comes up just like lightning and the Yahoo just takes forever, and I've just wondered if you had any insight to that.
What browser are you using? Are you using Google Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Internet Explorer?
Explorer.
There's the problem. I'm just kidding.
Let's see here. Well, I know that Yahoo has a bunch of ads on it when you bring it up. Does it load the first part of the page and then load a bunch of other stuff in the background? Or is it just
it,
like...
It does not. And the irony is my other machine over here that loads at lightning fast and the Google comes on slow. So I just think that's crazy.
Hmm. Have you tried emptying the cache on the computer that's giving you trouble? You like
I don't know what that means.
Browser
so
cache?
I'd say no.
Okay. So what you do is in Internet Explorer, you go, there's a menu item called Tools, and you click on that. At the very bottom of the Tools menu is an item called Internet Options.
Yes.
And actually, I'm going to have to defer to one of my, to Matt, who's got a Windows machine.
Well, I have Edge, so I'm kind of, I'm I'm trying to find it in Edge.
Yeah.
You're on the Edge.
If you're on Windows
Well,
10.
Anyway, let's see. I believe in the very first page, there is a like a button that says like delete or clear browsing history, something like that.
Okay. Okay.
And when you click that, it'll give you a series of options. I think if you just take the default, you know, buttons that it has loaded and click OK, it'll take, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds for it to do that. And then restart Internet Explorer and see if it's doing anything differently as far as that problem goes. So,
yeah. If you're doing it on Microsoft, go ahead.
From what you just described, if it was in fact the cache on the Internet Explorer, why would it act differently on two different machines?
The cache would be different on the other machine, possibly, but.
Every machine's going to the cache is going to contain
it's going to be unique
substance or content that's unique to that machine's browsing history.
Basically. That's what I was missing. I somehow figured it was on the web or something else. Very good. Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, there's some additional testing.
And then the other thing is, I have a rather old ThinkPad that does was refurbished with the solid state drive, and I love it to death because I like the ergonomics of the keyboard, but when I least expect it, the touchpad freezes, and it'll sit there. When it decides to go again, it'll go again. Sometimes it's a few seconds, and sometimes it's as long as a minute.
Okay. You know, one way that I would troubleshoot that would be to connect an external mouse and see if the external mouse undergoes the same freezing issues. And that would...
It does not. I have relied on that extensively, and I was just trying to get the machine back. But no, the external mouse is flawless.
Okay. Huh. What do you guys got for that one? I'm talking to my compadres here.
Well, I guess we could check the drivers. Lenovo has a software update system built in, so you could go into the programs, and if it was refurbished back to factory defaults, there should be a program in there called System Update. And see if there's any driver updates for the mouse. Otherwise, we'll have to talk about uninstalling the drivers and bringing them back in.
Is that a big deal?
The system update one's not a big deal. If the software's on there, just go ahead and run it and see if it has any drivers. It'll be like the second one over. It'll have a list of drivers that are available for update.
Okay.
The second one's a little bit more involved. We'd probably have to walk you through it with the computer in front of you.
All right. So if I'm understanding it, then the driver would have an effect on the built-in touchpad, but the external mouse, because it has a separate something, would circumvent that issue?
So my take on it would be that the universal mouse driver, or it's basically what they call it. It's a generic human input device, or an HID. That is like a really base, you know, like really rudimentary part of the Windows operating system. But then when you start, you know, customizing your Windows operating system for different pieces of hardware or different systems that have different pieces of hardware, then you start ending up with a piece of software added onto the system that helps Windows talk to the touchpad. So it's basically a third, the driver is a third party piece of software. It's not a Windows piece, you know, it's not a Windows driver, not a Windows software. So that's why it, you know, gets a little bit more complicated when you get there. So
I guess I'm befuddled because it just seems like if it was something in the way of a driver that the mouse wouldn't work either. I just can't get my head around that. So I'm just going to take your word for it.
Well, yeah, basically the input, the way that the two different devices, at least on a lot of machines, the way that the two of them talk to the system board is different. I don't know, this, like most touchpads, are they
they're mostly USB.
Are they USB as well?
Yeah. But these are... The ones on the ThinkPads are made by a company called Synaptic.
Yeah.
And that computer also has a pen, a point, the little red dot that you can in between the G, H, and B keys. Does that one lock up as well, or is it just the touch?
Does it have the little red joystick?
It locks up. They both lock up together. The red dot and the touchpad and the related keys, those little two keys at left and right, all lock up together. And they free up together as well.
Yeah,
so
that really does sound like a driver issue. And the other thing I was going to throw into the mix is that There's a bunch of extra functionality that has to do with the touchpad. Like, I don't know if yours will do the pinch and spread for zoom in and zoom out. All the different gestures that you can do, you know, two fingers, three fingers, double tapping on the trackpad. All of those things are additional features that require an additional piece of software to interpret, you know, the input that they're getting from the trackpad.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, that's all additional stuff that's an additional input that you don't get with the mouse. Mouse is very basic. It's like, you know, X-axis.
Okay, that's fair.
X-axis, Y-axis, left button, right button. it's really simple on most mice.
You scroll know? Wheel.
So
okay.
Yeah.
That gives me a little clarity. And worst case scenario, I'll just use the darn external mouse because I'm kind of hooked on the touch of the keyboard.
You know, there are a lot of really good third party external trackpads as well. So you know, you can that's an option as well. Add one of those.
I don't understand that. You mean it's like my built-in one, but it sets off to the side?
Exactly.
What can I expect to pay for that?
I'm going to guess probably anywhere between $59 and $159. You know, depending.
Yeah, I was going to say 45 or 50 and up, depending on what you can find.
Yeah. So
I'd be willing to go 50, and that's it, man. That's just it.
So. All right. Well, hey, thanks
right,
for the call.
That's not your problem.
Good question there.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
All right, you guys. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. You can reach your geeks right here at 963-2976.
Getting a little touchy-feely today.
Yes.
Yeah,
with
all those
touchpads.
Yeah, with all those input devices.
All those gestures. So, pinching and spreading.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Call in with your questions. Have a few more minutes left.
Yep. Yeah, I felt like my brain got a little bit bigger just with that last question. You know, it's kind of like a muscle. If you use it, it gets stronger.
It's nice when some of the troubleshooting's already done, so you can kind of go, well, let's see which way. Is the computer locking up?
Yeah,
or is the mouse?
The fact that he had tried an external mouse, that was good stuff. You know, that was exactly where I would have gone with it and said, okay, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, is it
here?
The computer or is it the trackpad exactly?
Yeah, you know, I would say universally, if you have a brand name laptop like Lenovo, a lot of the brand name laptops do have a like an update utility, and those update utilities will phone the mothership and see if there is any new drivers, which is basically little software packages that allow your hardware and Windows to talk to each other. I strongly recommend, you know, you'd be amazed. You know, oftentimes you know, a laptop that's only 6 months old, you'll run that update utility and it'll come back and go, wow, I got updates for like half your stuff, you know?
And some of those will be firmware updates as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So things that Windows are not going to look for to, you know, make the computer work
definitely
better.
And it will make the computer work better. The computer will run better, you know? So anyway, just a little handy little tip there. So
Louis, I wanted to mention about the Glenex co-working space that's going to open a week from today.
Uh-huh.
And they're having a little seminar. They're having a big seminar on the 13th, this Friday, at 3rd Street Center.
Okay.
GlenexSummit.com for information. Right. And it's going to be exciting to have a co-working space right here in Carbondale. Mm-hmm. And I also was checking the Facebook, and it looks like they're having a sneak preview on Wednesday, 6 o'clock.
So what, you can like sneak in there and work a little bit?
Well, I think there's just a sneak preview of what the facilities will be and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
Yeah. So I'm eager to see that. Maybe next Monday I'll go over there and check out the co-working space. I'm a big proponent of co-working spaces. I've been involved in co-working spaces probably over 10 to 12 years.
And yeah.
It's a great place to not only just work, but you meet other people, networking. You know, it's a little more than just going to the coffee shop and worrying about when you go to the bathroom, somebody take your computer, you know, everything's safe and you have a printer access and all that kind of stuff. So
have you ever seen like a documentary about like what Pixar Studios, like what their office is like?
No.
It's like a lot of these places I'm going to generalize and say out on the West Coast.
There you go.
You know, I don't know why it just seems to be the West Coast, but you know, they have all these, you know, fun.
The Nerf ball.
Exactly. They have, you know, vines draped, you know, through their offices and, you know, people ride around on scooters and, you know, stuff. So I was kind of wondering if maybe they're going to do something like that, you know.
Maybe so.
If maybe, you know, because if there was like a ball crawl there, I'd probably join.
You'd probably join.
You know,
I actually
but only, you know, only a good one, you know, the ones with the big tubes,
yeah,
and
the
stuff,
big ones, not the
know?
Small ones. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I actually was at the Google campus once.
Yeah,
they have all kinds of crazy things there.
Yeah,
they have tie lines. They have this slide that apparently you go, you know, you jump from one floor to the next floor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there's so much static electricity in the slide, you can't go down with your phone.
Okay,
it'll break your phone.
Whoa.
Yeah, supposedly. So,
are you sure that'll happen with an iPhone too?
I don't know.
Or is that just an Android specific issue?
I don't know. Yeah, some of these campuses are quite amazing.
Yeah. So that's my dream for Glen X.
Okay.
You know,
so. All right. Well, I'll look into that next week.
Yeah,
I'll make the recommendation.
We were actually kind of talking about maybe doing a live remote from Glen X here in a week or two. It gives us a little time to get our ducks in a row.
Yeah, it's news for those guys. So we'll go see if we can do that.
Have somebody on the line, you know, like the remote guy on the remote end is like, you know, doing helium shots or something, you know, just to kind of make it even more entertaining.
Yeah. So if you're in Carbondale, I recommend you check it out because I really like co-working spaces. And so a week from Monday, they'll be opened up at 3rd Street Center. They have a big summit this Friday.
Yep. And to, you know, the guys over at Glen X, I'm sorry, I've kind of raised expectations a little bit about the workspace, the shared workspace. But, you know, it's called planning ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, the summit on Friday looks really good. I've been involved with the Aspen Entrepreneurs lately. And so Skippy Mesereau is going to be one of the speakers starting off at 1 o'clock about why co-work.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the large, there's like 20 different speakers or at least 15. So it looks really good on Friday.
Yeah. You know, co-working seems like one of those things that it can go either way. You know, if you're, you know, you've got to have good boundaries. You've got to know, you know, it's like you're like hanging over somebody's shoulder going, hey, man, you need to, you know, it's like only offer when asked.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's kind of this and, kind of place you know, more designed for people who code rather than someone's like a salesman. You don't really. Some co-working spaces will have like phone rooms and phone booths and stuff
got
like that
it.
To make your phone calls.
Yeah.
But generally, the ones I've been involved with, you know, it's more coders and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But generally, got they're very, you know, they'll talk to you if you have a question, say, hey, I'm having a problem with blah, blah, blah. And they'll give you 5 minutes of their time. And
I think they should have like a part in the corner like called timeout if you're like bad, you know, if you don't share your coffee or something.
Another good suggestion for our friends at Glen X.
Timeout. I have all the guys that work there wear referee's uniforms. So,
anyway, I think it's exciting.
Pretty goofy.
Exciting opportunity and something new for Carbondale.
Yeah.
So if you're in the tech sphere in Carbondale, it's a place to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I am such a hack when it comes to coding. You know, I mean, every program that I've built and sold is just, as far as I'm concerned, a water walking miracle, you know. It's but the thing about coding is, I don't know if you're, you know, if you've had this experience, but you really do get to a point, it's just like a foreign language. You get to a point where you start making your decisions using a Boolean flowchart in your mind. And I don't know if that's good or not, you know. It's,
you don't know if that's best, like, coding practices.
Yeah, I'm glad that I'm not doing it today. And I can't look back on exactly what I was, the decisions I was making in my life at that time, but it really does become, at least for me, becomes all encompassing. You know, I'll wake up with solutions to coding problems. Hmm. You know, and it's like before I eat or have coffee or brush my teeth or anything, it's like I've got to try this and see if it works. You know,
and I think there's that Girls That Code program somewhere in Mid Valley.
Yeah,
maybe one of these high school students can show you how to code. They learn from age 3, you know.
That would be good. Nice. Oh, that's so good. So I was looking at an article, speaking of things that end with the letter X, I guess SpaceX is like looking to start doing intercontinental flights, which, you know, I'm sure you've probably heard that idea entertained in some science fiction books, but the idea that you could basically go from one side of the world to the other, you know, by going up out of the atmosphere, or transpolar or whatever.
Yeah, there's no speed limits in space. Except for C.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah. So as long as you're willing to put enough energy in there.
So you could get from Hong Kong to New York City in 90 minutes, basically.
Yeah, or in less, depending on
of that is like getting in the craft, getting strapped in, you know, getting out of the craft, you know.
Whatever. Yeah, ground to ground.
Waiting in line to go to the bathroom after you get off, you know, stuff like that. So,
well, you know what they say about the speed of light, do we?
What do they say about that?
It's not just a good idea, it's the law.
Nice.
another edition of Geek Speak with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thank you, Marty.
And Matt McBriar from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll see you next week for another edition of Geek Speak.